It's time for Central Iowa Today. Here's Ken Hughey.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM. It's always good when we get a rookie in here. You know what I'm saying? It's always good to have somebody new, and we are so pleased to be able to have our first chat with our new president and CEO of the Marshalltown Area Chamber of Commerce, John Hall. John, welcome. I hope we don't scare you off from radio land here in Marshalltown.
No, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Ken. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, and it's good to have you here. And the first thing that impresses me about you is that you've been here a month and you still keep coming back. That's a good sign.
Like you guys said, they haven't changed the locks on me yet. So where else am I going to go? So
what got you into the chamber type business? I mean, you know, you have experience coming here from Ames and then prior to that Story City and maybe some before that. What got you interested in that type of business?
Yeah, so growing up, I worked in politics prior to ending up in the chamber world, really with the altruistic idea about really trying to help people. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is how can I use my skill set to help people, help communities for the positive change? Well, working in politics for a while, you quickly realize that that's not the point of politics, at least in the campaign world, is to just always be running for re-election. And so there wasn't a lot of people to help that way, other than the politicians to get back into office. But what I found in the Chamber of Commerce economic development world is, you know, my opportunity is to help not only my community grow, help it thrive with more vibrancy and more attractiveness, but then on the economic development side, get to pair that with the opportunity to create meaningful employment opportunities for folks. You know, you think about the opportunity for middle class life, for elevating wages, for lifting folks out of poverty and into more successful positions. Those are the things that drive me, and so you'll start to see a lot of our efforts continue to change and focus around how can we continue to push the envelope on meaningful employment opportunities for folks, whether it be through adding a workforce position that can be really geared into retraining for folks and finding ways to make sure that as people are coming out of school that they're finding opportunities or whatever that may be. That's what we want to be focused on is creating those opportunities, because that will help lift the community more than anything.
So was your first chamber related job in Story City?
Yeah.
How did you start there? Because, you know, sometimes you start in a position and pretty soon you're moving up to where you're kind of, overseeing some other things. Was that the case?
Well, so in Story City, I happened to know a couple of the board members pretty well, and they thought, you know, this might be a good fit for your skill set.
Okay,
it was a Main Street program, so similar to our central business district here. It housed their economic development and then the carousel. So the tourism side of things was under our auspices. But it was a good place to cut my teeth and get a little bit of experience working with a board of directors, a couple of boards of directors, and I had a little bit of staff that worked under me and working with, you know, the city and the relationship there. So it was a good opportunity to kind of really cut my teeth on all of that. And I was there for almost 2 years before I left for Ames. And really, you know, the opportunity, the attractiveness of Ames was that the organization had the resources to help me grow. They had the resources to invest in my professional development, in my personal development, that allowed me to even be able to take a position like the president CEO position at Marshalltown.
So what do you think, in your mind, what was it that made the folks who were making the decision here? I know Joe Carter was one of them, and then some of the other folks. What do you think you brought to the table that made them say, this is the guy we want in here as the head of our chamber?
So I think what I'm bringing to the table is the opportunity for some visionary leadership for the organization that looks at not only where we are today, but where we're going to go over the next 5, 10, 15 years as an organization that can turn a lot of our organizational efforts from more volunteer-driven into a tremendous amount of staff-driven efforts and pursuits. And it's not because there's anything bad about volunteer-driven. It's because we're asking so many of such a core group of folks in our community that by unlocking them to do other things, other nonprofit boards, other volunteer opportunities, we're creating essentially creating resources that can then be spread further in our community. Meanwhile, we can be driving that forward as a staff. You know, most of the things that they're doing are things that I would have been doing in Ames. Mm-hmm. And so it's no problem for me to take that on and carry that forward and, you know, bring our team along in order to continue to pursue those things and accomplish those tasks and those items. So visionary leadership is going to be obviously a component of it, but then I also bring a perspective. Having worked in Ames, the perspective that I can bring for how to regionally support economic development and chamber work, you know, we had contract relationships for economic development services for the county, for some of the other smaller communities, mm-hmm. for neighboring additional communities in Boone and Ogden. So there was a great deal of how do you kind of put all the pieces together, knowing that there are limited and finite resources amongst all of the region, but how do we put all those resources together to get everybody pulling in the same direction, from leadership at the county to leadership at the city to leadership at our business and industry, so that we can work towards these goals that we have as a community to really grow and be an incredible community, a welcoming community, a place for folks to say yes to. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is we want folks to have a reason to say yes, whether that's coming to visit mm-hmm. the community, choosing to live here, choosing to take mm-hmm. that job here, choosing to put your kids to school here. We want you to have a reason to say yes.
So what were the biggest reasons for you to say yes? You know, along that same line, because this is, you know, in any community, and I'm not trying to pick on Marshalltown or anything, but you know, you get into the forest for the tree syndrome, mm-hmm. because in some of my experience, I've seen that, and I don't think sometimes we appreciate Marshalltown for what it is. So, what did you see that made you say, not only can I grow here, I can help the community?
Yeah. So it's clear to me that there is a tremendous amount of optimism for what the community can be. And that's been clear, and that was clear through the interview process, and it's become even more abundantly clear since I've been on the ground and meeting and connecting with folks, is there is a serious drive to elevate the community by adding amenities and resources and seeing development happen in ways that has not historically happened here, that will drive us into kind of a new period of prosperity here in Marshalltown that I think is incredible and I think we can accomplish. We've got all the right tools and pieces and players in place, you know. The city leadership, city staff is incredible. Jessica does a phenomenal job at managing resources and dollars that the city can be activating to help us accomplish a lot of these things. That's an asset that you don't have a lot of places. There's a heavy amount of philanthropic investment that doesn't need to be set up. That exists here in the community. And we're starting to see more and more of this private investment. But how do we continue to attract more and more private investment that's not just from folks that are in the community, mm-hmm. but how do we go out and find folks that maybe haven't looked at Marshalltown as an investment opportunity for some of these cool projects that they're working on, but how do we get them to say yes to doing that here? Because we know the power that our community has. We know the opportunities that exist for us. And so we just need to go out and get them, drag them back, get them happening here, because there's incredible upside for the community on the back end.
How much did you have to look into what has happened here over the last 3 years? Because as a community, it's probably would be tough to come up with a community that's been through a tornado, a derecho, with as I phrase it, the COVID sandwiched in here, and it's been tough. It's been for a lot of folks, it's been overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I guess that's probably as good a term as any. But we look at what has been accomplished just in the 3 years since the tornado. I think some of us take that for granted.
So, obviously, being in Central Iowa and from Central Iowa, you know, I knew everything that had been going on here in the community. You know, I've had conversations with Debbie Durham, who runs the IDA and IFA, about the resources that the state's been injecting in and her optimism towards the community. But what really sold it for me is during one of my interview processes, I was here for, it was supposed to be like 3 hours in the morning, and it ended up being about 4.5 hours. Well, a component of that was a downtown tour. So I had Joe Carter and Jessica from the city touring me around. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of blight down here right now. But it wasn't a conversation about, well, this is really bad and we're not sure what we're doing. It was, well, this is, these are the efforts that we're taking on to beautify this, and these are the opportunities we see, and this is where we've got this program put in place, and this is where we're going after this facade with this program. It was clear that the stage is set with all these tools and resources. So it's not that I needed to come in and say, okay, how are we gonna clear all this out, and how are we going to do all that stuff? The city has that handled. So my opportunity to come in and say, okay, now we've got a blank slate, or we're getting close to a blank slate. How do we attract that investment in and really go after some of these incredibly impactful things? And you know, there's not been a question about, well, should we just call it quits? I mean, that's clear. You know, despite everything that's gone on in the last 3 to 4 years, there's not been that. I've not heard that from anybody. It is a perseverance and a forward-looking to understand the potential for the community.
Visiting with John Hall, the new president and CEO of the Marshalltown Area Chamber of Commerce. As we mentioned before, we were talking before we went on the air, and I talked about, some of you are very aware, I have a little bit of a retail background in the shopping center industry, and having worked at the mall here, you know, there has been pros and cons in Marshalltown to the old cliche of location, location, location. Mm-hmm. The fact that we are so centrally located, it really lends itself to get-togethers and conventions and business meetings and all that. But at the same time, there's a sense that we're too close to some of the surrounding communities, you know, Ames, Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, et cetera, et cetera. Is location, location, location a selling point for Marshalltown in your view?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I look at MechDyne had a big 25th anniversary gathering where a number of the meetings happened here in town last week, and it was capped with a big celebration down in Des Moines because it had the facilities to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. So we just need to understand what we are and what we can accommodate. You know, you think about the potential for companies that have presence in Cedar Rapids or Waterloo and maybe Ames and Des Moines, and the central location that we can be for meeting space for them. Certainly lends itself well for what they might be looking for. But once again, it comes back to, we've got to put our make sure that we're well aligned in what we can be and what we've got to offer. You know, we need to get our hotels back up and operational in the case of the Holiday Inn, but then also look at what can we do for additional convention space. You know, we're missing that upper mid-scale hotel in the community that's a different bracket than everything we've got, that could be tied to a little convention space, and is downtown a good fit for that? With the Mac getting ready to be fully restored, there's going to be some opportunity for some really cool convention space in there, or smaller meeting space with a little bit of convention space. So there's some opportunities there as we continue to put these assets together. We've just got to figure out how we go after that for all of these folks.
So I'm sure you got asked this, you know, this comes up in almost every job interview of any consequence. It's like, okay, what are your goals? So as you come in, and I know that these things change, and as you learn more, why things will shift and all that, but what are you really hoping to accomplish here in Marshalltown?
Yeah, so that question has a couple of different answers depending on the lens that I'm looking at this through. Mm-hmm. So from our organizational's perspective, there's been a lot of tables that we haven't been at, a lot of positive development that we've not been involved in, and I know why, and I understand that, but that's going to change. We need to be a driving force at every turn, not because we are the only reason that things can happen, but simply because we can provide additional resources and excitement about things that need to happen. You know, in some cases, we're just the cheerleader for projects. And in other mm-hmm. cases, we have to keep good fuel in people's tanks. If they, you know, get wishy-washy about stuff or things like that, we got to keep them moving forward. And then in other cases, we've got to drag it across the finish line. And then for the community, there's tremendous opportunity for some major development pieces that we want to go after, and we want to be helpful in getting across that finish line.
We look forward to many more conversations with you. Thank you for your time. We welcome you to the community, and looking forward to you sharing your thoughts and everything else with our listeners as we go forward.
Well, thanks so much, Ken. I really appreciate it. It's been fun, and I'll look forward to being on with Kyle tomorrow morning.
Getting to know you with Kyle Martin tomorrow morning at 8:34. Thank you, John, and thank you for being with us on Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.